supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Welcome to the Franchise Players Podcast. I am Matt Muncy and I have my other host here with me, Mr. Brock Stafford. And this is the first show of our brand new podcast. Full NBA, nothing but NBA. Maybe a little NCAA with, draft and stuff like that. Everyone's got to move up to the NBA sooner or later. But we're going to start our first show tonight talking some NBA trade rumors, specifically revolving around the Lakers and Paul Gasol. And Brock, you know, this is something that we've kind of been throwing back and forth for the last couple days and just kind of throwing out there who they might trade for. And it kind of seems like everyone we come up with in the long run doesn't make a lot of sense for either team. But we've kind of hit one that we feel is a dead given, and there has been some speculation that it could happen as well in the past, but you want to throw out there who we've been discussing?
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's been something that we've gone back and forth on. Really, you look at the market out there, and you've got a big name like Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol, he's a player who fits very, very well with what the Lakers were doing. I don't know if he fits necessarily so well what they're trying to do now, just simply because they've got Dwight Howard, and Dwight Howard is a big piece of their puzzle. Howard himself, just too much to move. He's comes with all the baggage that he's been dealing with over the past season or so, and you've also got a lot of the issues with it, trying to find somebody for his contract. He's on an expiring contract. He wants a new contract. But it's going to be hard to move him at this point just to find a team who has enough pieces the Lakers are going to be interested in to get him signed. So Gasol is kind of the no-brainer choice. But finding a team that really matches and needs his skills is also kind of hard. When we came down to it, we thought of really one team has the ability to do it. And this has been a rumored trade for a long time, but the Atlanta Hawks have two things that really, I think the Lakers would take a look at. Number one, they have Josh Smith, which Josh Smith is an absolute stud. Josh Smith is a player who plays both sides of the ball, is an offensive juggernaut. He's friends with Dwight Howard. They kind of played AAU ball together in Atlanta. There had been many times where they were talking about trying to get Dwight Howard, and Dwight doesn't seem to be interested in going into Atlanta, but why not try to team those guys up again? Not only that, he could fit very much the same role that Sean Marion did in Steve Nash's system and D'Antoni's system. He's got that kind of fast break mentality where, it's lob city when you get to him. It's not quite the Clippers, but I definitely see you could have those same kind of things with a Josh Smith on your team. Also, secondly, the Hawks have something that very few teams at this point can offer after the bonanza that we had last year, trying to get all these players with just trying to get enough pieces that would interest the Lakers to be able to do it. I don't think you do a Josh Smith straight up for Gasol. The numbers don't work. However, a guy like Jeff Teague could be, another piece that not only would fit the Lakers' major need of filling up, the point guard position, but also fill their need of supplementing their bench quite a bit and providing a point guard for the future. Now, I have a feeling that the Hawks would balk at this kind of trade. And me and you were talking about this a little bit. What other potential issues do you see with this idea of a trade between the Hawks and the Lakers?
Well, first off, unfortunately, they can't pull a Paul Gasol straight up for Josh Smith trade, which I think would work out for both teams better in the long run, unless they were to be able to pull some kind of Josh Smith sign-and-trade deal to get him up there closer to Paul Gasol's salary, which is at $19 million. Smith's only at $13.2 this year. And after throwing this trade in the NBA trade machine on ESPN, it looks like given the 125% plus $100,000 rule, they're about $2.4 million apart. So if you get Josh Smith up to the $16 million, $17 million range, they could easily do this straight up. But I think the Lakers are going to look to get a little bit more out of it. And if you just leave Josh Smith at his one-year deal and then have hopes of signing him and Dwight Howard in free agency, which I think is risking a lot to give up Paul Gasol at this point.
It really is, because you, even though there's not really pieces to trade, there's teams who would sign, who have the cap room to be able to sign Dwight Howard next year.
And so I feel like they obviously need a point guard, because Steve Blake is not very good, and neither is Chris Duhon. And the logical piece would be Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague has an expiring contract. I believe he's still on his rookie contract, and he's at 2.4. So luckily enough, if you throw him in the deal, you can trade Smith and Teague straight up for Gasol based on the NBA trade machine. Now, that would fit both needs. The question is, does Teague want to sit behind Steve Nash for a year or two? And that's kind of the big answer there, because if he gets traded and then decides to go elsewhere, what was the bigger point of that trade for the Lakers then? Another piece would be that I think makes a little bit more sense would be grabbing Kyle Korver from the Hawks, who would give them that three-point specialist that they try to get out of Jody Meeks, but Jody Meeks is not even close to the same level as Kyle Korver.
But Jody Meeks is a pure shooter for what he is. He and Korver are both the kind of guys that you're not going to ask him to do a whole lot else other than shoot. Now, Jody Meeks was played really well in Philadelphia. Unfortunately, he was also playing in a lineup with J. Rue Holiday and now Lou Williams down at Atlanta, who really, with Teague's departure, you know, you could have Lou come up and be that, you know, starting point guard and fill that position. So you don't necessarily need Teague, and I think it's less of a stressor because Lou Williams is having a really great year this year.
Yeah, but is that more of Lou Williams being a shooting guard instead of a point guard as well?
He's more of a ball handler than some of the players. I mean, really, the biggest thing about Lou Williams, the knock on him, has been he's more of a shooter. Yes, he tends to be more of a scorer, but he's also got the ball handling skills and is a fairly good distributor on his own merits. Whereas, you know, Teague is a good point guard. He's never going to be a, you know, amazing point guard, but anything would be upgrade. Now, I will also say the Lakers have also been utilizing Darius Morris a lot more lately, mainly because they've had to, because they've had such terrible production out of their other, you know, guards. However, I mean, you look at guys like Jody Meeks. Jody Meeks had 12 points tonight. I mean, he's a legit scorer when you need him to. And I think both teams have enough young pieces to make it work. But really, the Lakers are very, very thin when it comes to the bench. They don't have that, you know, that second, you know, second wave of players that could come in and kind of fill the positions. So it's kind of hard, because even if you can make this work, I mean, you can always shuffle players in there and make salaries work. I mean, you have guys like Devin Ebanks and Earl Clark. Antoine Jameson has been a name that's kind of been thrown around a lot lately. But it's one of those things, you know, how you can make it fit. And, you know, if you can get the players and the personnel to balance out, that's the biggest issue with a trade like that.
Yeah, and I feel like this is one that's going to happen right before the deadline, and I think it's going to be one that comes down to the deadline. and
right.
But I feel like it's one that has to happen. Paul Gasol needs to go somewhere. I still feel like after last season when he got blindsided by the trade that would have sent him to New Orleans for Chris Paul, I still feel like there's some residual effects from that because he just hasn't been the same since, and he obviously doesn't fit D'Antoni's system.
Well, we've discussed this before. I don't really think it's a fit to D'Antoni's system. I think it's a fit with Dwight Howard, because both of them are post players. And you know, there was a great article on ESPN a couple weeks ago about how when he's utilized in the post more, Pau Gasol is a much more effective player in the past couple of years. He's still got that great range. He's one of the sweetest shooting big men in the game right now. But he doesn't. He's underutilized for what he does, and that's really attack at the basket. And unfortunately, Dwight Howard tugs up the paint, so you don't really have as much need for Pau Gasol to go down. A trade with the Hawks would not only work, providing, Josh Smith and a little bit of bench depth, but if you put Gasol on the Hawks, what you can do is, number one, Gasol is the guy again. Number two, you can move Horford from the center position to his more natural power forward position where he should have been playing 5 years ago. Am I correct?
Oh yeah, definitely.
He's not undersized for the position, but he's more suited to a power forward role. It's like the Celtics. Kevin Garnett can play center, yes, but should he be playing center? I mean, do you want that wear and tear on your guy who is, 36 at this point?
Yeah, basically. I mean, he's pretty far up there.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not as much of a risk as it sounds like. I mean, there's still always the possibility that, Gasol gets thrown to the one team that really tried to get him, and that's the Rockets. The Rockets still have tons and tons and tons of pieces that would be interesting to the Lakers, not only refilling their bench, and I honestly think you trade with the Rockets, you give yourself plenty of positions that you can use. You've got Patrick Patterson you could trade, Carlos Delfino, James Anderson, Tony Douglas, Cole Aldrich, Greg Smith. I mean, that's not even going into their starters.
Do you want to keep him in the Western Conference? Which I would say no. And B, do you really want to give him to Houston to play alongside Jeremy Lin and James Harden and Asik? I mean, you send him down there, are you going to trade him for Asik? I mean, that puts Gasol back in the same position that he doesn't want to be in, of he doesn't want to play power forward. And you're not going to pay Omar $25 million, over 3 years to sit the bench. So,
yeah.
While the trade may make somewhat sense, it doesn't make sense in the fact that he wants to be a center somewhere. And
I don't think he even necessarily has to be center. I just think he needs to play a different role than he's playing right now. Because
I don't think he's going to be happy unless he's playing center.
I mean, it's a matter of last year with Bynum. In the past couple of years with Bynum, they were able to make the rotations work because, if they didn't have Bynum and they had Lamar Odom and Gasol playing together with Gasol at the five, you could play Bynum and you could play Gasol together because Bynum, didn't have to be anchored to the post. He could do a few more moves than that. I just think Dwight Howard he's a space hog. When it comes down to it, he doesn't clear the middle very often. I don't know that Asik is a big part of their plans, but at the same time, if they were given the opportunity, I honestly think that Asik would be one of the guys they would, not mind parting with because and that's the other thing. The Rockets have such low salaries, except for a few players, because most of them are on rookie scale contracts. I mean, you got to look at it that way too. There's not a lot of guys making a lot of money on the Rockets. However, there's tons of guys who could be used as trade bait for any number of teams.
True. All right, so we're going to wrap up this first episode here. What, you know, final thought, what do you think is, where do you think Paul Gasol is going to go?
If I were the Lakers, I would try to find a team who have plenty of cap room, can offer them a little bit of cap leeway, give them players that they're going to be able to utilize, and really players that are going to be complimentary. The rumor that we were talking about a little bit before the show, and I think makes sense, is trying to swing a trade with New Orleans to get Ryan Anderson there. Ryan Anderson and Dwight Howard played excellently together, and that's because Ryan Anderson spreads the floor. It would give the Lakers something they haven't had in a while, which is somebody who can space the floor a little bit more at the big man position. And it's really going to be something that is familiar for a D'Antoni system. Eric Gordon's name was thrown in there. I don't know if I can see Gordon as a good piece for the Lakers, just because, I mean, do you play Kobe at the three and Gordon at the two and somehow try to share the ball between them? I just don't see that being a logical thing. So I think you'd have to get multi-team trade. Like I said, if it's going to be a straight-up trade, I really see the biggest two teams being able to facilitate something like that as the Rockets and the Hawks.
For me, I feel like it needs to be the Hawks. I feel like that has to be the team that makes this deal, strictly because I know Josh Smith would be perfect for this system. And, you know, I mean, there's just been so much talk about the chemistry between him and Dwight that it would work perfectly. But I wouldn't really be surprised. You kind of took my thunder because I was actually going to throw out the Hornets. I wouldn't be surprised to see some kind of deal come down where they get Ryan Anderson. And, you know, they're obviously going to want something else back because Anderson's not on the same level as Gasol. So I could easily see them asking for Austin Rivers, who I almost feel like New Orleans would give up to get Gasol just because they do have a decent backcourt. And, you know, Rivers is kind of on and off, and they don't play him, you know, every game like they should. So I feel like if you could grab that and then you put Gasol next to Anthony Davis, I mean, that's one hell of a front court in my mind that would just be ridiculous.
And honestly, I think Anthony Davis would be a good complimentary player to Gasol because he plays the defense that Gasol, you know, when you get older, you know, your defense gets a little bit better, but it's something that Gasol's never been. Well, I shouldn't say that. Now I take that back. Gasol is a heck of a defensive player when he puts his mind to it. But I think Davis provides that blocking and kind of that additional, you know, force that would make them a really imposing offensive defense inside outside kind of game. I think they could play well together. I think right now Howard takes up too much space in the middle and doesn't allow Gasol to play his natural game.
All right, well, that's going to do it for our first show. You can follow us, FP_podcast, on Twitter. You can check out the website, franchiseplayerspodcast.com, and we'll be posting articles and stuff like that every once in a while along with the podcast. If you got any questions or anything you want us to discuss, you can hit us up, franchiseplayerspodcast@gmail.com. Everything will be up on the website. You can check us out there. You know, thanks for listening. We'll be back next time. I've been your host, Matt, and I've had Brock along with me. Have a good time.